Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 29th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. In East Africa, the Tokyo Games are helping bring some joy and hope during these COVID-19 times. Magume Davis Rakawinj joins us now from Kampala, Uganda, with an Olympic feature. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny, and our listeners. Ugandan Olympics fan Chiza Christopher says he's enjoying every bit of this year's ongoing Tokyo Games, where his country is represented in four disciplines: swimming, athletics, boxing, and for the first time, rowing.
Olympics is not like other sporting events where you get to watch only one sport, for example, soccer. But here you get to watch all sorts of sports, ranging from taekwondo to gymnastics, which is my favorite, to boxing, marathon, name it. Quite a couple of sports you get to watch them. And yeah, you really feel as you're watching sport indeed. Oh, what I'm enjoying the most here at the Olympics? Oh, the gymnastics. That is my favorite. Whenever I am on TV and I watch those extraordinary skills, I really feel... I don't even know how to express this. Gymnastics is my favorite sport in the entire Olympics.
Otieno Ojeda, the founder of Zoish Maisha, a fitness hub in Kenya, says such a great feeling is timely.
Olympics is very important at this time because it also helps us release our stress, because anytime you can sit home and see people competing in different games, it actually makes you forget about some of the challenges that you're going through. More so, you've seen so many guys who lost their jobs. They can be able to have something to kill that boredom or the frustration they may be going through.
Sports fan Nasiri Nchimbi from Kigamboni town of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, is equally elated.
Kudos to the Olympic Committee. They figured out, they did their math, and how to make sure that this Olympic tournament takes place this year, despite that it was supposed to take place last year. So the fact that the Ivory Coast men's soccer national team made it out to the quarterfinals of the competition, and it's something that brings joy to all African countries, especially the Ivory Coast, because they're the ones that are mostly concerned. But all Africans, we can use Ivory Coast as a flame and joy to all of us, because they're representing us well. So yeah, that is something that has impressed me the most.
Tanzania is represented by three athletes, runners Felix Simbu, Favolana Matanga, and Gabriel Gay. But for Abel Asimwe Nkunda from Kigali, Rwanda, who has been following the Olympics since the 1992 Barcelona Games, this year's Olympics hasn't been to his expectations, mainly because of the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Athletes are concerned about their health. Some have actually pulled out. So I'm really not impressed, not this time. Under normal circumstances, the Olympics should be fun, should be something important anyway. First of all, for the country that is hosting, it's good to reach out to the rest of the world and say, hey, here we are ready for you, to receive you, to host you. Come see us, come participate and, celebrate with us, play with us. Should be important, but not this time during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Olympics fan and reporter Beck Cynthia Nachimela from Uganda says she understands the nature of this year's Olympics.
Yes, we know we have been hit by COVID-19 everywhere around the world, but this can't stop it to go on. This is a good experience for some of the athletes that are even going to participate in the Commonwealth Games. It is a good training ground for some of even the debutants, being in action with people that are more experienced than us, it gives us the courage, the energy, and the confidence that we can participate better. What I'm enjoying most at the Olympics is I'm keeping my tabs on basketball.
Beck says she'll be rooting for France to take men's basketball gold and Ugandan runners to dominate. Otieno agrees East Africans will shine in the coming events.
There will be some ray of hope when Kenya and Uganda in particular will be participating in the field events like the races, the 800 meters, 1,500, 400 meters. Those are some of the races that they are actually known for, and probably they may be able to give us good results.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. As we heard in Magume's report, Olympic fans in East Africa are hoping athletes from that region will provide rays of hope and good results and medals. Let's listen in now to a few more of those East African Olympic fans.
Tanzania, we have a very, very, very slim chance of winning gold medals, silver or bronze. We have few representatives. We only have three, so it's really, really tough. And due to inadequate preparations they made and difficult times out here at home, so I don't think we have a very, very, very high chance of winning. But yeah, I'm not ruling out. If we win, then I'll be happy. But as it stands, we have a very, 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 very slim chance of winning.
Yes, I think Uganda will bring a medal. And now that we have nothing in boxing, we have nothing in swimming, I think all our hope will go to the athletics team. Halima Nakai will be in action, and we are rallying behind her, the 800-meter expert. We know that she will do well, and we are very optimistic she will bring a medal. Joshua Cheptegei, with no doubt, is one person who has not disappointed. He's raised the flag high, and those are the medals we are expecting in athletics.
No, I don't see my country winning medals. How many sportsmen and women did we send in the first place? Five, maybe? I don't think. I wish them good luck, honestly, but I don't think they will be able to win any medals. If they do, congs, congs.
Currently, we have not yet won any, but of course, I know come Friday, 2:30, that is when my favorite runner, Joshua Cheptegei, will be in the race, competing in the 5,000 and 10,000 meter races. I know Cheptegei will do a fantastic job for my country, Uganda. And by the way, it's not only me, but the entire country. I know all of us have that confidence in that boy of ours, Joshua Cheptegei, and I know not only me, but all Ugandans, is actually our greatest of all time.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat, You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Benjamin Azamati is scheduled to run in three Olympic events for Team Ghana in Tokyo, the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100 meters team relay. Meanwhile, Yawafusu Larbi in Accra caught up with a retired sprinter who represented Ghana at three Olympics. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Sprinter Emmanuel Tufour is a three-time Olympian for Ghana. He made his way to the grand sporting event as a teenager in 1988 in Seoul. He exited with little acclaim, but as he grew older and garnered experience, he went on to represent the country at two more Olympic Games in Barcelona in 1992 and Atlanta in 1996.
I think it's a great achievement for me. To be three-time Olympian is not easy, and you know it comes in every 4 years. For running like 12 years for my country and being Olympian, I think is a very achievement for me.
Let's look at the three Olympics that you went for. How different were all of the ones that you went for?
In the Olympics in Seoul, mm-hmm. It was my first time. You know, once you've been there, you have to experience something. You know, you have to learn from the top guys. So my first Olympics was not all that good. Mm-hmm. I was out in the 100 meters quarterfinals and 200 meters quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. But Barcelona 92, mm-hmm. I was improving, mm-hmm. because I trained for the 4 years,
right.
for that particular Olympics,
right.
And I missed the 100 meters finals by 0.1.
The Olympics is largely the biggest sporting stage in the world, a sport where many athletes want to be at. To be there is a great achievement, and having been there opens doors. Tufour admits that the Olympics, participating there and having the tag as an Olympian, has been kind to him.
Olympics has done a lot of stuff for me, especially in my own life, mm-hmm. my personal life.
Right.
And wherever I go, people appreciate that I've been to three Olympics for my country.
Ghana has never won a medal in sprints at the Olympics. Tufour made the final once and the semi-final on two occasions in his heyday. He strongly believes that the new athletic crop Ghana has presented at the Olympics will move the needle.
We are all behind them and they are going to do their best, especially the relay team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that they will get to the finals, and anything can happen in the finals. And I want Benjamin Azamati to run his best. He's the first time Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes seeing a big crowd like that, though he has been running the NCAA stuff, but it's different from the Olympic Games.
Right.
So I'm praying for him, and we are all behind him to at least better his time.
In as much as Tufour feels the new athletes have a good chance, the Ghana Athletics Association's former public relations officer, Erasmus Kwao, who covered the Olympics in 2012 and 2016, believes expectations shouldn't be too high, although the athletes have had an incredible year individually.
We need to get excited first for where they are and what they've achieved, because in Ghana's entire history, Azamati is a national 100-meter record holder. I mean, who in this world would have thought Azamati, who was here GUSA champion 2019,
mm-hmm.
would run a sub 10 and be a record holder. I mean, amazingly, yeah. It just came from nowhere. Same for Joseph Paul-Amoah, who holds a national 200 meters, record for that matter. So they get out there and everybody is like, well, if they can't do that within a short period, then they should be able to do something here. But the Olympics is the biggest stage in athletics or in sports generally. And I've been there, Rio 2016. I remember when we had Sean Safo-Inchi debuting for Ghana. He had run 10.16 coming to the competition.
Mm-hmm.
But in the race itself, he ran 10.43, which was way below his performance. He admitted, dealing with jitters, going into it. So you want them to have a feel first. This present team has also been at Doha World Championship 2019, which is almost the same as the Olympics, and then Silesia. So they've gained some experience, some momentum. They know what to do. They know how it goes. So you want them individually to do well, and then for that to reflect on the relay team.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
My name is Emmanuel Tufour, three-time Olympian for Ghana and former 100 meters sprinter. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including a special panel of U.S. lawmakers met for the first time to hear testimony in an investigation into the events of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In Olympic swimming, American star Katie Ledecky has won her sixth career gold medal and first at the Tokyo Games. The AP's John Letherby reports.
Ledecky won the women's 1500-meter freestyle, an event making its Olympic debut, holding off teammate Erica Sullivan, who took silver.
The times might not be my best times, but I'm still really, really happy to have a gold medal around my neck right now.
USA Gymnastics announcing Wednesday Simone Biles will not take part in the all-round competition Thursday. That's in order to focus on her mental well-being. The organization says it will monitor Biles on a daily basis to determine if she'll take part in individual events next week. USA men's basketball improving to 1-1 after a 120-66 drubbing of Iran. Damian Lillard led all scorers with 21 points. I'm John Letherby.
Thanks, John. Now we'll hear from two more gold medal winning swimmers for Team USA. Bobby Fink won gold in the men's 800 meters freestyle.
I'm super grateful and I'm so excited, especially with Katie and Erica going 1-2 in the first women's 1500 ever at the Olympics. So I think it's really just incredible to see how Team USA was able to do it for the first two events.
And American swimmer Caleb Dressel was crowned Olympic champion in the men's 100 meters freestyle.
I don't want to get immune to the feeling that racing offers me. So I just wanted to really kind of take hold of that moment and enjoy it. I mean, there's people who would kill to be in the situation I am, you know, in lane five, an Olympic final, or whatever lane. So I don't want to take that for granted.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Latvia and the United States won gold medals in the first ever men's and women's 3-on-3 Olympic basketball finals. The Latvian men defeated the Russian Olympic team 21-18 in the gold medal game. Carlos Lasmanis led the Latvians in scoring with 10 points. And the USA also beat the Russian Olympic team 18-15 in the women's gold medal game. Stephanie Dolson led the Americans in scoring with 7 points. And here's a fun Olympic fact for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners. Stephanie is nicknamed Big Mama Steph. And Big Mama Steph also plays professionally for the Chicago Sky in the Women's National Basketball Association. The Olympic basketball 3-on-3 competition was held at Aomi Urban Sports Park in Tokyo. In results Thursday, in the more traditional 5-on-5 Olympic women's basketball tournament, Spain beat Serbia 85-70, and Canada defeated South Korea 74-53. Both games were played at the Saitama Super Arena in Japan. Spain has won its first two games in the Olympic competition, while Canada has one win and one loss. The Nigerian women will be back on the basketball court Friday in Japan, and that's later Thursday here in the USA when they play France in Saitama. The Nigerian women lost to the 8-time Olympic champion USA 81-72 in their opening game in Olympic women's basketball.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Former American sprinter Lee Evans, who won two gold medals at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, died in May in Lagos, Nigeria. He was 74 years old. After hanging up his track spikes, Lee Evans worked as a coach in several African countries, including Nigeria. Among those paying tribute was Chief Tony Osheku, an athletics coach in Nigeria. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports Olympic feature, let's listen in again to Iron Mike Mbonye's interview with Chief Tony.
I was so sad when I heard about the death of Lee Evans. I got to know about his coma, that he had a coma and he was hospitalized. I started praying. I prayed, you know, every day, you know, for him. But, well, as it would be, you know, he passed on. He gave up, you know, the ghost.
For how long did you know Lee Evans?
I met Noli Evans as far back as 1980. When I was in secondary school, he was big in Lagos. He was our national coach, Nigerian national coach. And I was so privileged, you know, to meet him. Then he was coaching our athletes, Sunday Oti, the first Nigerian to break 45 in 400 meters. Henry Amike was training under him then. Henry Amike is our national recorder, Nigerian national recorder, Olympic finalist in 400 hurdles. Daniel Ogidi was also under his tutelage then. So I was under their program also. They used to train us, and we used to have, you know, like a time trial, some meets. He used to run with us. During that time, he told us a lot of story about 1968. Then I got a track scholarship and moved, you know, to U.S. And when I finished my master degree at the University of New Mexico, I decided, you know, to become a coach. And the first person I turned to was Lee Evans. I called him. I told him I want to start, you know, coaching. And he taught me a lot. He gave me a lot of tips. Very wonderful man. He was not afraid, you know, to share information, you know, with people. And I learned a lot from him. How to prepare athletes, especially how athletes know will focus if you want to be successful.
Can you reflect on Lee's performance at the 1968 Mexico City Olympic Games?
He told me a lot of stories about 1968, how he won that Olympic gold. He said he used to run on lane 7 or lane 8, and when he got to the Olympics, they gave him a better lane than that. And he said, well, he just focused on running 405, despite the fact they were going to run 400 meters. And he told me that the guy that won silver medal, Larry Holmes, Ron Freeman, he said those were his target. And he said when he got to the last 50 meters, he thought, hey, I have like 55 meters to go. He told me that story. Well, he was on the first man to break 44 seconds in 400 meters. He won that Olympic gold 1968 with 43.86. And he told me a story about Africa. He said Africans, they are very talented. He said at the Olympics 1968, when American won the 4x4, they ran 2:56. He said Kenya got silver, they ran 2:59. And he said the person, the guy, you know, that ran, you know, the last leg, he said David Rudisha's father ran the last leg, you know, for Kenya, and they won silver medal. And he said from there, he started thinking about Africa.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners about Lee's legacy as an athletics coach in Nigeria?
Then he moved to Nigeria. He said Nigeria didn't know that they were good in 400 meters, not until a coach, Kende Vaughn, who won 400 meters at the African Championship, I believe. He said he told Nigeria how to run 400, and he made them to believe that they can run 400 meters. I remember him telling me that. He's a man that I really appreciate, very wonderful. He just believed that he was in Nigeria. He told me, he said his roots should be in Nigeria. And he kept talking about Nigeria. And if you give him a job, he told me one time, he said, if other country give him a job of $5,000 and Nigeria gives him a job of $3,000, he will pick Nigeria over other countries. And I'm glad he taught us a lot. We Nigerians, you know, we gain a lot, you know, from him. He's a man that he was so honest, very kind, very humble, not afraid, you know, to share information, you know, with people. And he left Nigeria, you know, for a while. He moved back to Nigeria. And myself, you know, I was in Libya. At one point, I was Libya national coach from 2010, you know, to 2012. And when I moved back, you know, to Lagos, I met him here in Lagos. He was working in Lagos State. And I was so privileged again. I became his assistant. We worked together. So the same Lee Evans, he taught us how to train, how to do drills, how to be disciplined. I don't know, but I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, ha, this life. But he's the type of person somebody is not supposed not to be with. Very great man whose achievements deserve not to be recognized and applauded by future generation. So all this stuff, you know, I learned from him. I've been using it, you know, to teach the new athletes. He's a man that we're going to miss a lot, especially in Nigeria. He loved Nigeria and he died here in Nigeria. May his soul rest in perfect peace.
That's Chief Tony Osheku, a Nigerian athletics coach, remembering the late two-time Olympic champion Lee Evans of the United States. And Chief Tony spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. Olympic organizers continue to battle extreme temperatures that could force competition schedule changes at the Tokyo Games. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty Olympic greetings, Gwen!
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Athletes across several sports at the Tokyo Games have complained that competing outdoors in the intense heat has hampered their performance. Skateboarders, who made their Olympic debut at this year's Games, said temperatures were unbearable as early as 9 a.m. Last weekend, the world's top two men's tennis players, Serbian Novak Djokovic and Russian Daniil Medvedev, called on organizers to move matches from the hottest parts of the day to late afternoon or evening to beat the stifling heat. On Wednesday, Medvedev struggled through his third round singles match in extreme morning temperatures. During one of two medical timeouts, the chair umpire asked Medvedev whether or not he could continue playing. The world number two responded, "I will finish the match, but I can die." Temperatures in Tokyo have consistently reached or exceeded 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And Sydney University professor Ali Jay tells Reuters News the problem is not just environmental.
So I think it's really important to keep in mind that the thing that is the problem is not necessarily the environment being hot, but it's the athlete being hot. And there are things that we can do to slow the development of hyperthermia in athletes when they're exposed to certain environments by adopting evidence-based coping strategies. And that's a really important thing.
Along with the intense heat, high humidity has added to the athletes' discomfort, and they have found little relief from ice bags and cool air hoses provided by organizers to help them cool down. But Ali Jay says there's another solution that could work well, ice towels.
This is where you have damp towels that are filled with 3 kilograms of crushed ice. And then they're taped off at the end and in the middle to stop it moving around. And they place them around their neck, and that provides a really strong cold, conductive cold cooling stimulus around the neck. Then we also take damp towels and place over the lap and over the head. And that permits additional evaporative heat loss as well.
And Jay says it's important to allow the body to sweat.
But the humidity is the climate that is really restricting the capacity to lose heat in this particular case. So you might be able to produce lots and lots of sweat, but if that sweat can't evaporate from the skin, then it doesn't contribute to body cooling, and that becomes really problematic. So remember, it's not the production of sweat that cools you down, it's the evaporation of sweat. So if you're wiping yourself down, you're removing the sweat that you've secreted, you're progressively dehydrating the body, but that sweat is not evaporating and providing any cooling to the body whatsoever. So what you want is moisture on the skin surface, and then you want to be able to help that moisture evaporate. By wiping it off, that's not contributing to any body cooling at all.
Earlier this week, International Olympic Committee Sporting Director Kit McConnell said he's in full support of moving events from the hottest parts of the day to late afternoon or evening. But he added that's not always possible with every sport.
In terms of the tennis, obviously a lot of the competition schedule has been built where possible, depending on the sport, to accommodate the they will avoid the hottest parts of the day, but that's not possible with every sport. And on top of that, there's really extensive heat countermeasures across all of the training and all of the competition, and that has been in place for a number of years, developed through the test events based on feedback, and then generally has been working well across the games so far.
The International Tennis Federation has announced it will change the playing schedule for all remaining matches at the Tokyo Games in the interest of players' health. Tennis matches taking place on Thursday have already been moved to a later, cooler time of day, and soaring temperatures could force more competition schedule changes in the days to come. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the July 29th Olympic edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.